Okay, today's daf is Yerushalmi, Erev, and Daf Lamed Dalet, and we are on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis. We just had a whole amud about the comparison between being with one's Rebbe and being with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Makabel Pnei Rabbo is like Makabel Pnei Hashchina, and you learned that from being with Moshe, and or being with Eliyahu Navi, being with Achia Hashiloni, and the like. Just two other ha'aris based on yesterday's daf. So if you remember the Rambam in the beginning of Mishnah Torah has a little hakdama besides the major hakdamas that he has about hakdama to Pirush Mishnah and hakdama to Perkei Avos and Chelek. He also has a short hakdama where he just talks about the Mesorah, and there he goes through the 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravina and Ravashi. He lists off all the generations from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravina and Ravashi. So in there, you know, it has some famous and less famous people, going all the way from, and he goes backwards, after going from who to who, and then he goes, these are the 40 generations. Nimsa, Me, Ravashi, Moshe Rabbeinu, Arbam, Ish, 40 people. Ravashi, Rava, Rabba, Ravhuna, going all the way back, backwards, and then he skip a couple of, generations. Habakkuk, Nahum, Yoel, Micha, Yeshayo, Amos, Hoshea, Zachariah, Yod, Elisha, Eliyahu, Achia Hashiloni. So Achia Hashiloni was the Rebbe of Eliyahu Navi, and he was the one that got it from David. David, Achia was the link in the chain between Eli Shmuel David, Achia Hashiloni, Eliyahu Navi, Elisha, Yehoyada, Zachariah, etc. So yesterday's daf, when the Gemara said that Eliyahu Navi was a Tirogin, which means he was just a beginner. So how could he say in the pasuk that he's been in front of Hashem for so long? And the Gemara's answer was that he was in front of his Rebbe, who was like in front of Hashem. That was Achia Shiloni, because that was his Rebbe. That was the one that was earlier in the chain. Again, somebody who probably should be more famous, right? The Rebbe of Eliyahu Navi, Achia Hashiloni. So that is Ha'ara 1. The other Ha'ara I wanted to make was based on the Chazal that I mentioned, that's similar to the last Chazal, the last line that we mentioned on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. So again, we mentioned that they came to eat with Yisro, and what do you mean they ate in front of Hashem? They were eating in front of Yisro. So it must be Mekabel Panei Chaveiro, Kilu Mekabel Panei Hashchina. So I mentioned that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, and Rashi quotes it ala Torah, a similar idea of Gedola Hachnasas Orchim, Yosem Yakbalas Panei Hashchina. Being machnis and oreach is even greater than talking to Hashem. Where do we know that from? We know that from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was talking to Hashem, and then he sees the Arab travelers outside, and he goes and cares for them, even though he's talking to Hashem. So that's the part. The question that I heard many years ago, Rav Schechter asked, quoted from the Velt, quoted from the Olam, 35 years ago, we know this halacha from Avram Avinu. But how did Avram know the halacha? How did Avraham himself know that if you're talking to Hashem, you leave to bring in the guests? Right? How did he know? So he said that we know that the Rambam tells us that there are four differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and all other prophets. We know Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the, and this is the Rambam's categorization. I mean, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was different, that's a pasuk in Chumash. B'chol Beisi Nemanhu, and Psukim at the end of Baloscha reflect that he is unique and he is different. But the Rambam catalogs what are the four differences between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of all other Nevi'im. That's in the Sodia Torah in Perek Zayin. That's where he says, number one, all other Nevi'im were Bachalom o Bimara. They saw a vision. And Moshe, and they were kind of sleeping. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Ar Va'omed. Shenemar uvavo Moshe lo amoed ledaber ito v'yishmasakol. Moshe Rabbeinu was awake. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was direct. It wasn't a malach, which gave a mashal or a chida. It was direct. Pale, pale, daberbo. Number three, Moshe Rabbeinu had his faculties, and he wasn't shaking. Yurein v'nifhalin umismogigin. All other neviim. Moshe Rabbeinu enokain. And that's what it says, Kashi Dabar Ish El Re'eu. And number four, Moshe Rabbeinu could start the conversation. But what do you see from there? All other Nevi'im, including Avram Avinu, was in a trance when he had Nevuah. So the Kasha is, how did Avram Avinu see the guests that were walking in the desert? Right? He was in a trance. He didn't have his faculties. how did he see? It must be that Hashem allowed him to see the guests, even while he was having the experience of Nevuah. And that is why Amravinu must have realized that it's to teach me something. Gedol Achnas Azarchem, why does Hashem want me to see these guests? It must be Gedol Achnas Azarchem, Yoser Meak Balas, Pnei Hashchin. Okay, so that's a little bit about that line. Now we get back to the issues of Erevin. So we are on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about 8 lines up. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Mehechan, Mehechan Ma'abrin, Kineged Ashkof. So as we said, the Parak Ketzan Ma'abrin, we extend the border. So where do we, how far do we go to extend the border? Neged Ashkof. Shkof is the protrusion, whether it's a tower, whether it's a ruin. How far out are we allowed to start from? Ad Alpayim Amma, 2,000 Amos. As long as the ruin or the tower is within 2,000 Amos of the city, so then I could extend the border beyond that, and I could assume that that is part of the city. You see, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says here, V'haynu taima ta'ad al payim ama, kivanchu tchum ha'ir, v'shari leilech sham below ha'ibur. Really, I could go to this tower, I could go to this ruin, even without anything. It's within 2,000 amos. Yachol sheyei chashev min ha'ir. So it's considered, it's able to be considered part of the city. Avol yasar me'af ha'im ama, lo. But it can't be, well, if it's more than 2,000 amos, you can't start, it's too far. It's considered independent. It's not called part of the city. So you cannot start the tchum from outside that spot. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha quotes Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. You could start 2,000 amos as long as it's within 2,000 amos. Rabbi Yosef L'Rabbi Yosef Bar Acha. So Rabbi Yosef says to Rabbi Yosef Bar Acha, Lo Mistavra Ela Keneged Apigum. This L'chora makes sense only if it is connected at Pikum. If you have a little tower outside, so then it makes sense that if it is more than 2,000 amos out, we say that you can't count it if it's more than 2,000 amos out. Avol mi connected ha'ir afilu kama. But what if you have a real significant part of the city that is more than 2,000 amos out? What happens if you have what Chagadevsky says, the shape of a resh, or we would say an L? So you could have the edge of the L is more than 2,000 amos from the L part, the other part, the other arm of the city. But says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef says, shouldn't that be included in the city, even though it's further than 2,000 amos from part of the city? So you shouldn't have such a limit of 2,000 amos. Athal mikenego de ira filukama. So the answer is, he says, you're right. Amrle of anasavar ken. I agree. I agree that you're right. The limit of 2,000 amos is only if the tower or the ruin is within 2,000 amos. That's where you could start the tchum from the outside. But if you have a significant a number of houses, a significant section of the city that's more than 2,000 amos away, you still might say, this is part of the city. You didn't get to the tchum yet. Omalei, umay chamis meimar pigum, o nomar hahe nu pigum. What does that mean? So explain the mefarshim. But what do you mean? But if you're saying something could be significantly and connected to the city, even if it's further than 2,000 amos away, so why don't you say even by a pigum, even by a tower, if it's further than 2,000 amos away? Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, okay, you're right, ad rosha de madinta, even if it's at the edge, at the tip of the country, right? I mean, there's no limit at all. So as the Karbanat Ha'ida says, upalag Rabbi Yochanan, and he argues on Rabbi Yochanan that there is no such limit. Milson, where it says now on time, Milson Reb Shimon Amar Ken, Reb Shimon by Yochai also seems to say a support to Reb Nachman that there's no limit. Tamar Reb Shimon by Yochai, Yochal ani lasos shu mahalchin mitzur litzidon mitferia litziporin. Reb Shimon by Yochai says I can make it that all of these cities are connected and they're within the tchum from Tzur to Tzidon, which is more than 2,000 amos, from Tferia to Tzipori, al yedei ma'aros v'al yedei berganin. If you use the caves, if you use the little huts that are along the way, so Rav Shimon Yochai says that would be able to connect them. But you see, these are more than 2,000 amos away, and yet he says you could use them to connect. So it must be that he holds, if you have something that's considered part of a city, even if it's more than 2,000 amos away, you'd be able to use it for connecting the city and extending the tchum. Interesting, this is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, here is trying to connect Jews, and he has a special spot. We find many Mar Chazal about the love that he has for Bnei Yisrael, and there he's trying to connect Bnei Yisrael to each other through the Truman. You know, the Mishnah says in Shabbos, in the 14th parak, a type of oil that only Bnei Malachim could use because it's considered normal, and for Bnei Aniyim, they wouldn't be able to use it because it's considered refuah. Says Rav Shmuel Yochai, call Yisrael Bnei Malachim heim. Bnei Yisrael, or Bnei Malachim, he has a very optimistic and positive view of all of Am Yisrael. Right, the Begar Megillah, Rosh Hashanah says, "Bo rei kama chavivin Yisrael lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." He's the one also that says, "Noach Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rosh Hashanah." Often in Shas, we have Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rosh Hashanah, even though there were generations between each other. But we have that Mesorah. Noach lola adam shiapil asbelo tol kifshana ish. A person is better to throw himself into a fiery furnace, while yabam bnei chaver barabim, not to embarrass their friend. And obviously we know that from Tamar, he muses, she didn't embarrass Yehuda, and she was rather being ready to die. But you see, there are many Marei Chazal about the avas bnei Yisrael that Rav Shimon bar Yochai had, and this could be included because he wants to connect the Jewish people, bnei Yisrael, to each other in Tveria, Tzipori, in Sur and Sidon. But it's also interesting that here he says you're allowed to use what's underneath, what you don't really see, right? The Maros of the caves, that's for sure underneath. You're allowed to use those caves in order to connect. And the Bergenin, these little huts in the middle of nowhere that nobody really looks at and are not significant, but Rav Shimon bar Yochai, we've mentioned this in other contexts, this isn't the biggest raya to this shita, but Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Rav Shimon and Yehuda have many machlokos throughout Shas, and the Chazal, Rav Shimon often looks at the Pnimius Hadvarim, while Rav Yehuda looks at physically what's in front of you. And if that's true, that pattern, then this could also fit in. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, even though on the surface it looks like these two cities are totally separate and they're not connected, but here, if you look through the caves and you look through what's underneath, maybe you could connect the two. We know that from Hilchos Shabbos, right? Rav Shimon is the one that says, Tavar Shem Miskavin is mutter, and Melach Shem Svichel Gufa is mutter midaraisa, because you look at the kavana, you don't look at the act that was done. Rabbi Yehuda says, Malacha Jezil Guf is Chayef. It doesn't matter what you're thinking. You did the act of the Malacha. Malacha, even if it's a different purpose than what was done in the Mishkan, you did the act, therefore you're Chayef. Rabbi Yehuda looks at what's in front of you. Rabbi Shimon looks at what's behind. The Kavana, Davar She'ein Miskaven, and Malacha She'ein Tzricha, Malacha She'ein Tzricha Lagufa. Darshinan Taima Dekra, if you remember that Machlokas in the end of Bamitzia, where Rabbi Shimon is the one that says you darshin, and you look at what's behind. What's behind the halacha? Remember the case of the are you mamashkinin and ashira and aniya in terms of taking a security from a poor amana. So again, there too, in all these cases, Rabbi Shimon is the one that looks behind the scenes in order to determine the halacha. Remember the story of the cave, Rabbi Shimon Yochai the cave. Right, so what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda was Rosh HaMadabrim. Because what do you say? Look at what the Romans did for us. They built this and they built that. Rabbi Shimon says, look at their kavanas. Why'd they do it? They didn't do it for wonderful altruistic motives. No, they did it for ulterior motives. And therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon is always the one that looks at the Pnimius HaDvarim. Maybe one more, and then I get back to ours. There's the Medrash in the beginning of Bechukosai talks about one of the brachas that we have in Bechukosai is Vishbati Chayara. Hishbati Chayara. I will remove all wild animals in the future. So what does it mean? Hishbati Chayara. So Machlokas in the Medrash there in the Yalkut Shimoni, Rabbi Yehuda says they won't be there. There won't be, when Mashiach comes, there won't be wild animals. Tigers and lions and bears, there won't be. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, they will be. They just won't be dangerous. Mashbisam shalotazik. They won't be dangerous. So I once heard B'Shem de Lubavitch Rebbe, this also fits in to the Machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Vishbati means destroy it physically. It's not theirs. So there won't be these wild animals. Or Rabbi Shimon always looks at the Pnimius HaDvarim. So saying they're not there, if you change their essence, if you change that, they're not dangerous, is kilo, they're not there. And therefore you can look at the Pnimius HaDvarim, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mashbisam shalotazik. Tazik. So here too, it could be that Rav Shimon is connected, even though you look at these cities, and these cities don't look close to each other, they look like they should be outside of the Truman, But Rav Shimon says, no, I can look through the caves and I can get them together using the caves or using the Burganin. Burganin is a little hut. Burganin is a little hut. Remember, some are familiar with the Lashon of in Sukkah Dav Gimel, in the Bavli, Burganin. The Gemara there talks about that a house has a certain minimum shear, but the Gemara says, but if you have a little hut, it's meant to be used as a little hut, less than the shear of Dalad al Dalad, then it's chashuv to be a structure, even though it itself does not fit the normal objective standards. Okay. Ma'olitain, fourth line. Ma'olitain, pigum, lepigum. Let's say if you have two towers, right, one at the edge of the city, and then one further out, the second one is not within 70 and two-thirds, which is the shear that you need for the within the towers. It's not within 70 and two-thirds amos of the first tower. But if after we made the extension of the first tower, it's within 70 and two-thirds of that one. So is that good enough? The towers themselves, tower one outside the city and tower two, are not within 70 and two-thirds of each other. But once you made the extension based on tower one, tower two is within the extension of 72 thirds of tower one. So is that good enough? So the Gemara is going to answer yes. Mil said, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Amar Kain, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, proves this. Nostim pigum lapigum. He proves that you can make a pigum for pigum, meaning that as long as the tower is connected to the extension of the first tower, that's good enough. Demar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Yachani Lasos, Shetei Beis Mon, Misaberes im Tveria. Reish Lakish says, I can make it that Beis Mon is an extension of Tveria. Remember, Tveria was the center of the world during the Talmud Yerushalmi days. After the Sanhedrin went out from Yavne all the way to 10 different stops, and the last stop, if you remember, was Tveria. So that's why all of these shiurim are given. This is where the center of the Jewish people were, of Torah, was after the Churban. So, Itztadin, what you do is, says Reish Lakish, you look at the Itztadin. This was a type of stadium that was outside the city, and you view it ki'ilu hi malea batim. You view it as residential because it's used for different purposes of the people of the city. Vahakatsrin, katsrin was a different type of structure. Either some say it means that's like a fortress. The Karbaneda says, it's a place where people did their laundry, right? Katsri, sometimes in Aramaic, means the launderer. So Vakatsri nosim natum betoch shivim vishirayim leitztadin. This other structure of the Katsrim was within 70 and two-thirds of the itztadin. Ubeis ma'o nasum betoch shivim vishirayim lekatsrin. And they were all within 70 and two-thirds of the extension that each one was created for each other. So says the Gemara now, as Reish Lakish continues, Vim Tim Shach Min Pigma, if you would actually measure from the tower, Reish Lakish now is alluding to there was other structures around this Itztadin. There was a tower, there was Nafsha, means a monument for a person. So Vim Tim Shach Min Pigma, if you measure it from the actual tower, less Nafsha de Sirikon, Padoch Shivim Mishirayim, it wouldn't be 72 thirds from one structure to the other one. But Vim Timshach Min Pachorta, but if you would measure from the extension, Nafsha de Sirikon, Padoch Shivim Mishirayim, then it would be. So you see, Reish Lakish has the favors that you can measure from the extension, you don't have to measure from the actual structures themselves. Okay, and again, this was very, very important in the days of old, where people did travel much more than probably in our day and age, where people are in the town wherever you are for Shabbos, and you're not going outside the Tchum, but in those days, you wanted the towns were smaller, and they needed to going for a simcha, or whatever it may be. So that's why it's important to know these shiur. Ma'alitain ibur li'ibur. Next question. So we spoke about pigum lepigum. What's ibur li'ibur? So this is a reference to the Mishnah in a couple of daf from now. The Mishnah says in a couple of daf from now that according to Rabbi Meir, daf lamid vav amid aleph, Rabbi Meir starts measuring the 2,000 amos not from the border of the city. Nosnin karpef la'ir. Rabbi Meir says, you give a karpef. Remember our karpef, 70 and two-thirds. So you start measuring the 2,000 amos only beyond 70 and two-thirds of the city. So now the Gemara asks, what if you made an extension to the city? does Remeir also say then you have the Karpef and then you have the 2,000 Amos? So do you have is his din of 70 and 2/3, the Karpef, is that only for the city itself and not for an extension? That's the question. Ma'o litain ibur li'ibur. So Milsa, the Rishon Mayachai, Amar Kain. So Rashbi tells us, nosin ibur li'ibur, he says, you do an ibur for ibur. Demar, Rishon Mayachai, I can make it that you could go from all these cities, from Tsur to Sidon. Tsur is more up north, from Tveria to Tzipori, Al Yedei Maros, Al Yedei Bergenin. So you see, he says he allows it. So he allows it. You see that you could go, from one to the other. And we assume that this could only be done if you would be Ma'aber, if you would put the Karpef. Wouldn't he say that too? If Rishon Mayachai allows you to extend based on caves and based on little huts, wouldn't he also allow you to extend and add the Karpef? The Gemara says, no. Who says? Kamlihilo, Kamlihibur. They're two different things. When you're Ma'aber, what's he talking about, Rishon Mayachai? How do you measure edges of cities? Could you include this cave? Could you include this hut? What does that do with Karpef? Remeir is a special din of how far you're allowed to walk outside, right? Adding a Karpef to walk is not exactly the same as extending the Tchum, and therefore the Gemara leaves it, and the Gemara does not answer the question, that there's no Raya, whether Rabbi Meir would add the Karpef to the extension or just to the city itself. So the first question was answered, Lakula. The second question was not answered at all. Ravacha Amar, what's this going back on? And Mefarshim explains, going back on what we started today's daf with. Is there a limit of 2,000 amos if you're trying to add an extension? Is Palgun Rebchi Arubo Bar Kapara Chadamar Hada Da'at Mar Be'ir Gedola? When is there a Mekel Shita that you can go even with farther than 2,000 amos if there is a significant part of a city out there? Be'ir Gedola. That's only if you have a city that is itself more than 2,000 amos wide, then you could add on an extension of 2,000 amos. Avabir Ktana. But if you have a small city, the city itself is less than 2,000 amos, lo teatosef, as you see, rala ikr, then you can't have an extension that goes beyond 2,000 amos, because the extension can't be longer and bigger and wider than the city itself. Vacharana amar bengdola bengtana, dayopayim. And the other opinion says that they argue on that shita, right? Go by the more machmer shita that we started off with. And that is, you can never go more than 2,000 amos, right? If your structure is more than 2,000 amos away, it's not part of the city. And therefore, you cannot measure it with the city. Period. Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Maisa b'Talmud Vasik, Lomani Bura b'Shalosh Shana b'Mechza l'fnei Rabo. There was a Talmud that studied these laws for 3.5 years. He wanted to become the world expert in Tchumen. And therefore, he studied for 3.5 years. He studied Erev Tchumen. Uba v'Iber es HaGalil. And then he went up and he taught everyone in the Galil. And he extended the Tchum. V'lo hispik laber es HaDarom ach nitrifa hasha. And he tried to do it in the Darom, but he was not able to. What does nitrifa hasha mean? It does not explain in the Gemara. Something happened. Look in the Rav Chaim Gadievsky. Al yedei haromiyim. The Romian. I don't know. The Romans, they didn't want these halachas, they didn't want the cities extended. Either way, he was not able to be ma'aber the cities in the Darom. It was not meant to be. Once we're talking about Tchumen, I haven't mentioned this I'll mention it now. In the sugis of Tchumen, interesting, the Gemara says that when Yaakov Avinu came back to Eretz Yisrael, he was Kovei Tchum. He was the one that, even if you want to say Tchum is Durabanan, but Tchum is Kovei Tchum. So the Meshech Chachma notes in Parshas Vayishlach, why is it that the example of a din derabanan that Chazal say Avram Avinu did was he did Erev Tavshilin, and Yaakov Avinu was Koveya Tchumen. So he says beautifully, he says each of these reflect their Avodas Hashem purpose. Avram Avinu at that stage, he was the revolutionary. He was spreading. He was spreading Judaism, monotheism. So he went out and did whatever he can. What's Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin is based on the principle of Hoel. Since guests might come and you could cook. And so that Din Rabbanan reflects his Mahus. Erev Tavshilin is all about cooking for everybody. By the time Yaakov Avinu came, he had the Shiftei Ka. Now it's time to put up borders. Now it's time to be in Goshen, separate from the world, and that's why that's his what reflected by Kavat Chumen. He meets Chumen. Adkan, there are borders here. Adkan Vesulo, so he was able to be symbolized by that din. And that's what I said, Avram, Kiyemir Fafshilin, Lachnes Archim, Lakabal Geirim, Tachas Kanfe Yashchina, Avalo Kavat Chumen, Shema Yimana, Echad Milovel, Shmo Deosav. Avram, he wasn't Kavat Chumen. He didn't want to have any limits. Lokein Yaakov, Kavat Chumen, Lahagbil Ulitchom, Bein Am Yisrael Lo Amim, Valachin Bemara, then Loivka Chumen, and he continues in this beautiful idea in Parsha Vayishlach. Okay, we continue. Rabbi Barav Yaakov Bar Bashem Rav. Ir Shihi Bunuya Kamin Keshes. What if you have a city that is shaped like a bow? A big ring shaped like a bow. The middle area is non-residential. It's all, let's say, desert. So you let it go from one edge of the bow to the other edge of the bow, walking across. Not walking through the bow. Walking through the bow is for sure okay. That's a city. But could you walk from one edge to the other edge? So it depends how wide it is. If it's less than 4,000 amos in between Malachas Kula, then you consider as if the whole bow is filled in and you could go 2,000 amos outside the bow. But our boss, I love him, but if from one edge of the bow to the other edge is 4,000 amos, then you're stuck. No, then you can't. Then just the bow is considered the city, but not in between. What's the svara? What's the svara? Why, if it's less than 4,000 amos? So Amar Avacha, Sava Rabbi Shmuel, Em Yitain San Deloi Hacha. If somebody goes outside, let's say the right side and the left side. If somebody goes from the right side, carrying his shoes, and he puts them at the edge of his tchum, right? Em Yitain San Deloi Hacha. Who asi bara v'nasi lon? He could walk from the other side and get his shoes. Right? He could go around go through the bow and get it. So you see, he could go out from one side and put his shoes there. He'd go out the other side and pick up his shoes. V'mitein sadaloi hacha. And the other way, if he puts his shoes out from the left side at the border, who asi bara v'nasi lon? And he could go get it. Minkan asabara. O minkan asabara. So from this side, he could go out. From this side, he could go out. Meiruch achas aser mishne ruchos mutter. So he could go out from each side and get his shoes in the middle. So you're telling me he's going to have to stop in the middle and then go back before the end of 2,000 amos? Doesn't make sense. No, look, it's clearly the fact that you could go put your shoes out at the edge from one side and then you could go pick them up from the other side. That shows this is all one big happy tchum. And therefore, if it's less than 4,000 amos, we say it's ki'ilu, it's filled in. It's all one tchum. Period. Rabbi Ba, b'shem Rav Yehuda. We could talk a little bit about the shape of the keshes. Actually, the Ramban talks about this by the bow, by the rainbow, by Noach. Why dafka? Was that the symbol? The Ramban amazingly says, so first he quotes, today is about it, right? Isn't the rainbow in nature? So what do you mean Hashem created a rainbow? It's part of the nature. It was already my separatius. So Pashas, he says, it was already existent, but now he was using it as a sign. But the Ramban says that it was ki'ilu when people are shooting bows and arrows at each other, and then they want to make peace, and they want to show that they are not fighting, they'll turn their bow around. They'll face it the other way. Right? And that's what Hashem did. The rainbow is the bow facing the other way, not in the way that it's going to be shot from. Right? It's facing the opposite way from Hashem's point of view. It's Kilu Hashem is coming to the world and saying, I'm not going to destroy you anymore. And that's why he has the bow facing the opposite way. Interesting. Good. Says the Gemara, Biba, B'shem Rav Yehuda, Ha'iseir Achaz Gedola, V'yeshba. If you have a big city, V'yeshba Charitz Amok Asar V'rachav Arba. Right? But in the middle of the city, you have this big ditch that's 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide. So, does that break the city into two? So, Adro Oso Kulo, we're going to flip the Gersa here. Adro Oso Kulo Kimifulash. You view it as if it's separated. V'imlav, but if it's not 10 tvachim deep or 4 tvachim wide. Atroso, kamali afar vitzroos. You view it as if it's full. There are bumps and holes in every city. What is this talking about? It's two separate cities? So Chaim Kanievsky says, no, it just means in terms of Erev Chatzeros. Meaning, no, Erev Chatzeros, they did the Rabbanon, having to make an Erev amongst neighbors. So he says, if you have a big ditch going in between two sections, they'd have to make a separate Erev Chatzeros. Okay. Reba Ami, Bar Yechezkel b'shem Rav, Irshi benuya asfas hanachal. If you have a city that's built right next to a big ravine, a big cliff, and there's a nachal, there's down there. Imish ben al nachal arba tfachim modi ben achoma. If there's four tfachim between the wall of the city and the nachal, then the nachal is considered separate, not part of the city, and you measure the edge of the city from the wall of the city. Shlosha, but if there's only three tfachim between the ravine and the wall of the city, then it's considered nechsha, part of the city, and therefore modi misfaz nachal chitzona. Then you measure the city from the outside of the nachal. Ubilvad shlo yehi benachal yosim mishim mishiraim. As long as the nachal itself is not 70 2/3 wide, it can be part of the city. So what did this shita say? Rav says it depends on the proximity of the nachal to the city, whether you count it as part of the city. So Gemara says, isn't there another factor? Man kayamin, doesn't it depend how steep to get into the nachal? Im b'maslak kedes asor tvachim mitoch shalosh, if it's very steep, it gets to 10 tvachim within 3, so modim misaz nachal achitzona. Then if it's very steep, so then it's not usable. So it can't be nechshav as part of the city. Right? So then you should, this is bitvia. Should you measure from outside the nachal? No. You should measure from the wall of the city. Meaning if it's so steep, then it's obviously not so usable. What's called lo nicha tashmishtei. So it shouldn't be counted. In mitoch arba. But if it's not so steep, if it gets to 10 tvachim only within 4, modim ben achoma. Should you measure from the wall? No. Then you can measure from outside the nachal. So what's the case that you only go by proximity and you don't take into account the steepness, elim im kain an kaimim mishalosh vad arba? It must be medium steepness. It's between 3 and 4. I guess the 10 tefachim between 3 and 4. So in that case, it's medium steepness. So that's why you would go by proximity to the wall of the city to determine whether you measure from outside the ravine or from the city wall. Okay, we'll have to stop there. By Rav Amar.